Blog Talk Radio.
Inner Sight live around the world, and welcome everybody.
Yes.
And tonight we have the great honor and privilege of bringing you story of survival and a story of no justice.
That's right.
And a story of, in my mind and in the minds of many, discrimination by a jury and a judge.
Yep.
So we're going to get the story tonight from a lady who has lived through it despite very serious injuries.
Mm-hmm.
And bravery.
Bravery too.
Bravery that most people would not exhibit. So let's see. Inner Sight brought to you by the Big East Akita Rescue. 609-388-7004. Big East Akita Rescue at Verizon.net. Adopt an Akita. All right. Kennedy Realty, one of our supporters in Islip, New York. Kennedy Realty, 631-888-1186. We thank Mr. Kennedy for his support.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's see. We have one guest on the line.
Hold on a second.
Oh.
Forget it.
We have one guest on the line.
Yep. And I have more people coming on. So
do we have the other guest?
5-4-1-8-1-2-8-1-5.
All right, let's bring in the two.
Oh, okay.
The two guests.
All right. Yeah, okay. I will.
Lupita Lewis and Shane Snyder. Her friend.
Okay, the two. Okay, I see it now. Sorry.
On Inner Sight Live, and we welcome them.
Yes.
With our hearts.
I'm opening the first one, and now I'm going to open the second one. There we are. I'll listen.
All right. Lupita, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Oh, okay.
I can
How
you
hear doing
you.
Tonight?
I'm doing okay.
That's
Thank you.
Better, yeah.
Thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Yes.
You know, we really appreciate we try to realize what you go through because of your chronic pain and all that. We want to go back to 2012. Was that have I got the year right?
Yes.
December 12, 2013.
Yes.
2013, right?
Yeah.
So you were going to school?
Yes. So thank you, Frank, for allowing me to share this story of triumph, courage, travesty, and injustice. I came to Colorado to do an intern as I was developing my next career move to going to teaching and leaving the business world.
Uh-huh.
And as I did an intern at the Colorado Center for the Blind, working with individuals in assistive technology, and I also took some classes to enhance my urban travel skills because I was living in Oregon in rural communities.
Uh-huh.
And for that since prior to 2013, since for about 20 years. And in 20 years, a lot changes in the urban environment.
Oh yeah.
That was my goal, to go to the Colorado Central Center, do this intern, then work on my master's for a teaching, and then go back to Oregon and continue to develop a teaching program as a trainer.
Excuse me 1 minute, Lupita. I want to make sure. Shane, are you on the air?
Yes, Frank, I'm here. Thank you very much.
Oh, okay. Thank you. We have a lot of interference. And Suzanne, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
There's a lot of interference. Can you hang up and call back? Maybe it would clear up.
Yeah, I don't mind. Hold on.
No, that's my co-host and engineer, Suzanne. All right, so I'm sorry. Peter, continue. Your master's degree.
So I was working, trying to go after my master's for teaching, and with the goal of developing a train-the-trainer program for individuals, teaching teachers how to use technology in classrooms so they can teach their students. So that was my goal.
Uh-huh.
A long ago, that I knew I was going to have success like I have had with other well-thought-out business ventures.
How long were you going to the school before you got hit by the car?
I have been going to the school, and I'm going to ask Shane to help me with this, Shane was a great friend, and that's one of my issues of memory. So I was there, I think it was September, Shane, that I...
Shane, did you hear what she said? Shane, you there?
I just came up.
Okay, I think we lost Shane.
We lost our other guest.
Back.
What happened?
I don't know. I just came in myself, and I see on the top the person's phone number. I do recall a little bit what the person said. He says, "Oh, we're done now."
Well, you have to get him in again. Get Shane back on
the
air.
I have
the
phone number. No, not a problem. Hello? Is Shane on the phone now?
No, this is Lupita.
Okay. I'm going to put you on...
No, he's not there. Why did we lose him?
I don't know. It has a thing.
You're supposed to know. You're
the
engineer.
Dropped. It says the call dropped.
Yeah.
So
that's
how I can get him back. Shane, if you can hear me... Shane, if you can hear me, call back in, please. Dial back in. We seem to have lost you on the show.
Yeah.
All right, so...
So I think it was about September where I was there at the Colorado Center. And at the Colorado Center, I was working with various students from beginning level to intermediate level with technology, assistive technology, Braille. I was also a mentor to some of the students.
Yeah.
And
so you were majoring in technology to help, mostly help blind and visually impaired, right?
Yes. For that intern at the Colorado Center, yes.
Now, the school liked your work so much that they offered you a job, right?
Yes, but the school saw my skills could be applied in many different in many different ways, applications. we're not only working with the regular population from 18 to 34-year-olds, 50-year-olds, but also use me working with their senior program, the people that were 60 and above. And
all right.
Also working with students K through 12. And,
now tell us, as far as you can remember, on that night, you were on your way home, right?
Yes. So that morning, I was called into the director's office, and I said, I'm going to, what happened now? And so I was close to the director's where she offered me a position at the Colorado Center working with their students teaching assistive technology and partially also working with their seniors learning, teaching them Braille because I was also a great Braille reader at that time. So I called Shane. I don't remember when we spoke and I told him about this job opportunity that came up.
That was before you got hit by the car.
Yes, that's before I hit by the car. I finished my day on December 12, 2013. I am now going home in the evening.
Right.
And I'm walking down the sidewalk that is...
You took the bus part of the
way,
right?
Yes, I took the bus. I reached my destination. I got off the bus. I proceeded to walk on the sidewalk towards the Colorado Center apartments. To get to the apartment, mm-hmm. you had to navigate this 160-foot-long driveway. It's completely flat. You cannot distinguish. Mm-hmm. There's no slope. There is no gutter. You do not know where the distant axis of the sidewalk starts or begins.
There was no curve,
no slope of the driveway because the driveway goes into a business. There is nothing. It's all completely flat.
And there were no strips?
No strips of any kind on the ground, no transition, no change in texture of the asphalt or a driveway or pedestrian access.
So you had no way of knowing if you were in the crosswalk or on the side. How would a person
know
who's blind?
A person would not know. The only way a person would know where they are as they approach the driveway is when they get to the near side. As they're approaching the driveway, they see a very small curb, and then you just have to line yourself using all the training and the skills that you have, listening for traffic, lining yourself straight, listening for parallel traffic if there were any cars. And
traffic goes both ways on that driveway?
Yes. On that driveway, traffic goes both ways. On the street, traffic goes both ways. There was no traffic, no cars coming in and out of the driveway. There weren't any vehicles. While I was waiting to hear for any vehicles that were parallel to me on the street, going north or south, nothing. It was completely quiet. The only traffic you could hear was the traffic behind you off the busy street going in an east-west direction.
Mm-hmm.
So I lined myself up.
That traffic had to be distracting, too.
It was distracting, but it was not something you focused on as you're getting ready to cross this driveway because it's behind you. You just hear it at night. It's so quiet, sound carry. But you could tell the way it was going, that it was going perpendicular to you. It was going east-west, and you're walking north on this street, sidewalk.
Yeah.
So let me
ask you one question right here. When you started across,
mm-hmm.
you know, you didn't hear any cars? It was quiet?
Yes. When I stepped off the
mm-hmm.
curb to enter this long 160-foot driveway, there was no cars.
Wow.
It was still quiet.
That's scary to me.
Quiet.
And I have some vision. My vision doubles sometimes, and I see two cars instead of one. So it's quite interesting, you know, when you're actually looking at things and you get a little scared at that point when you have two cars. What the heck is going on? I don't know if it's me or somebody else now. Sorry.
Do we have Shane back?
Mm-hmm. I know. Not yet. It's almost at show end.
Why don't we have... I wonder why we don't have him. Did he dial back in?
No, he didn't.
Well, can you go on the screen and call him, please? Get him that way?
I could try. Yeah, I could try.
Yeah. You have his number, right?
Not really, so that's the way I got to try. Hit the number.
What do you mean, you know? The number's up on the board, isn't it?
Yes, in a different area. So I would have to look at that one area and then come back. So just bear with me.
And get the number and go in the screening room and try to get him back on the air. I don't know why he hasn't called back in.
Yeah, no, I'm going to try. I'll try.
So, Lupita, so you...
Yes.
So now you're on this curb, and you start crossing the street, right?
Yes.
The driveway.
I line myself up. I'm now say, okay, I'm ready to cross this driveway because I listen for all the cues. I remember stepping off the curb, taking one or two steps, and that's all I remember.
Yeah. In other words, you did everything you were supposed to do as a blind person to try to figure out if there was any danger of traffic.
Yes.
Right?
Yes, I did.
Now, why didn't the jury understand this? Why didn't they believe this? Was this explained to them?
Yes. It was explained to the jury. It was explained at trial, because there was a trial in 2019, that I did everything that a well-experienced blind traveler. I did everything, all the rules, everything. And the fact that I have always crossed that driveway hundreds of times before.
Yeah.
With no issues, with or without traffic. And this was all explained to the jury. And I honestly believe that the jury did not take into account my injuries, my safety, because they put themselves in the frame of mind of the driver, not the pedestrian.
And all the
all
the jury members were drivers.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yes. All the juries are sighted.
I would have never allowed that. I would have wanted half and half, non-drivers and drivers. I never would have allowed all drivers on a jury with a situation like this.
Right.
Oh, go ahead.
All juries. Or jurors with prospective jurors with a disability, and there were some potential jurors with a disability, but they were asked to be removed. The defense wanted them removed, or the judge. And if we're supposed to have a jury of our peers, we should have had people with disabilities or people who are blind.
Yeah. So do you believe that the jury was prejudiced against you simply because you're blind?
I believe that the defense, the judge, put that thought into a jury and tainted the jury when the defense, from oral argument, which is the beginning of a trial, to the end of the trial, used statements such as, blind people should not be in public unless they have fluorescent clothing or other special clothing. Blind people should not be in public unless they are with an able-bodied individual, a non-disabled individual who can see.
Who said that? The lawyer of this of the guy who hit you, right?
Yes, the defense lawyer,
yeah.
the
now,
attorney
did
for the
case. At that point, did the judge interrupt and say, you know, that's not true, or, you know?
No, the judge never asked the defense attorney not to use those biased, discriminatory statements. He never made any motion. My attorney that I have, my own attorney, did not raise any objections as well.
That's a prejudiced statement. That's the most prejudiced statement I've ever heard against the blind. You know?
Yes.
And the judge let it go in?
The judge allowed it to go in. The judge, however, would not allow me, my attorney, to apply the white cane law, which is a statute in Colorado since the 1990s.
Yeah. Yeah. How long were you in the hospital, Lupita?
I don't remember how long I was in the hospital. I do know that I was in the trauma unit, and I was in the trauma unit, I was told to just sleep. I had a closed head injury, and when they did the CT scan and MRI, it was swollen and there was some potential bleeding of the brain. They said, we just want you to sleep. I then spent an additional 9 months in post-acute or inpatient rehab, learning how to walk.
What were some of your injuries? Did you lose a lot of blood?
You know, I don't remember. I do remember when I was alert enough in the hospital, they told me that not to be alarmed or afraid. I had a cast on one of the legs, a full cast. Mm. I had a huge bandage on my knee on the other leg. I had all kinds of injuries. Face was swollen. And it was hard to speak or swallow. So in rehab, I had to work from learning how to eat, learning how to walk. I have a brain injury.
Uh-huh.
I rely on people on a daily basis. With the brain injury comes memory issues, spatial awareness issues. Orientation is impossible now. Reading well, I don't have the fine motor skills, so I don't have the sensitivity in my fingers anymore.
Were you afraid that you were going to die?
It never crossed my mind. But what did cross my mind was, how am I going to live? I can't return to work. How am I going to participate and do activities of daily living? How am I going to cook? How am I going to shop?
and the Colorado school.
What is life gonna be like for me?
Did the school come forward to support you at all, to help you, to testify for you or anything?
No, the school did not do anything to help. They didn't come and say, we want to help you, not before trial, not during trial, and definitely not after the trial. They didn't come and then a hand. They didn't say, well, we'll find the right, we'll help you find a good lawyer. We will now help you figure out how you're going to survive, how you're going to live, what kind of support you're going to need. They didn't do anything. The Colorado School for the Blind, I know I stayed in their apartment for a little bit, for a very short time, and then they asked me to leave their apartment because I was a liability.
They were supposed to make sure that that driveway was ADA compliant.
Yes. They were supposed to make sure that if you are going to place your students or people that you are asking to be an intern and participate in your program to cross this non-compliant driveway, and it does not meet the commercial code for the city of Littleton, for the state, or the Architecture Barrier Act or Power Act, it doesn't mean none of those. And
did you sue
nothing.
The school?
I tried to, my attorney and I, we tried to file a claim against the school in the city of Littleton, and the judge threw it out. The judge
in other words,
that
there goes the ADA. What good is that?
There goes the ADA. What good is the ADA? What good is the public right-of-way, in power, as we call it, and the architecture barrier if nobody's going to enforce it or put any teeth behind it? And the school knew of that danger because many other students asked me to help them cross that section of the sidewalk because they did not feel safe.
Yeah. Lupita, stand by. I'm going to thank a couple of people, and then we'll continue. I want to try to find out. Shane Snyder, you on the air? Shane? We lost Shane. I don't know what happened, but I hope he calls back in. I don't know where my engineer is now. Suzanne, are you there? Anyway, Inner Sight, brought to you by James Bahamonde, who's an ADA lawyer here in New York. 516-783-9662, civil rights. So if you have any questions on that, call Jimmy, 516-783-9662. I want to thank Suffolk Bus Corp for their support. I want to thank SILO, Suffolk Independent Living Organization, for their donation and for standing by us with this new project that we're trying to turn all the nursing homes into accessible housing. So sign our petition at change.org. You click in Inner Sight, Inc., and you'll find the petition, change.org, and help us remove the fear of nursing homes for the millions of us that have to live with that fear. All right, SILO, Suffolk Independent Living Organization, 631-880-7929. And all of our friends. And also, if you want to stay in shape and have fun, we got a good place for you to go. It's called the Third Eye Insight. Learn how to defend yourself. Devin Fernandez is the director, and he's a blind guy. So Third Eye Insight, 631-445-3464. And we thank Devin for promoting our petition on the nursing homes this is in a site. We're talking with a very, very extremely brave woman, Lupita Lewis, who got away with her life after being horribly hit from a driver and his wife, who my understanding is that they didn't even get out of the car to see what happened, if you were all right. Did you know that?
No, they did not get out of the car. They there were two eyewitnesses. One was going northbound, one was going southbound. And
yeah,
the other driver going south, he saw me from 500 feet away. He saw my orange jacket. The other person was facing north, the same way the driver was going that hit me, saw me from 300 feet away. The driver that hit me, Mr. Powers, from 50 feet away, he said he did not
I call
know
him the
that
devil.
He had, yes, he did not know that he had hit a pedestrian. He told the first responders and his insurance adjuster that he did not know that he
that
had hit a pedestrian. I don't
do
believe
you,
it.
Do you believe that, Lupita?
No. No. How could you not know you struck somebody?
Yeah.
No. Yeah. After, so when he hit me, I was informed he split me in the air. I came down on his hood. My back of my head shattered the windshield. Almost broke through the protective cover that they use over glass so that the glass doesn't spread everywhere. And when they, at the shop, auto shop, they found some of my hair on the dashboard of the car. And then I was then tossed. He carried me on his hood for a few seconds, and then I was tossed 45 feet.
Wow. They should have arrested that son of a bitch. Excuse me.
The Littleton police should have tested this individual for driving under the influence. They should have checked his social cell phone.
Wow. He had speeding tickets, I was told.
Yes. At the deposition, it was told that he had had speeding tickets.
Yeah.
That was not allowed to come at trial.
And they let him get away with it.
Yes. Yes.
That's unbelievable. That's so insane that somebody could do that to somebody and just get away with it, you know. Especially a person who is defenseless. You were defenseless against that driveway.
Yeah, you're defenseless. No. There's nothing, no barrier, no indication of any kind of where you are in that. Many, many times I had to help other Colorado the center.
And you did everything in the right way that a blind person is trained to do.
Yes. You listen for any car noise in front of you or on the side of you. You listen for any pedestrians going by.
Yeah.
You listen for that business sometimes would have a radio playing, but they were closed, so there was nothing. It was very quiet. It's a very still, clear night.
So you lost the trial. You lost the appeal.
Yes. Yes.
You have a chance now with the Supreme Court of Colorado, but you need an attorney.
Yes.
Bring that action.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Finding an attorney is difficult. It has been a challenge to find an attorney that will protect my rights. And not only just my rights, but my safety. The safety of every disabled individual, every blind individual especially. If we cannot be protected, what good is the ADA? What good is POW Act? What good is the Architecture
Barrier? It's no good. It's no good. It doesn't protect us. We sent out a tweet earlier about that tonight before we went on the air to let people know that this ADA does not protect you. It doesn't protect you from going into a nursing home. It doesn't protect you when you're denied a guide dog, when you're blind. It doesn't protect you in your case and millions of others. The law is horrible. What good is it?
Yes. What good
I have
does
a case,
it say?
Excuse me. I have a case over 5 years now where the ADA didn't protect me. I was on my way to a nursing home to help a blind woman with a friend of mine, and they wouldn't let me on the what they call the accessor ride in New York City, the bus for the disabled. You believe this?
That's ridiculous.
And the driver
that's
got
that's
away with it. I'm sorry, Peter. Go ahead.
Nobody should be treated like a second-class citizen. Where is our right? Where are the so-called celebrities? Where are the so-called civil rights attorneys? Where are they? Those who stand up and do the sun and dance, we need to protect this person's right, that person's right. We're citizens. We are to be able to have equal access of the law.
Yeah. Excuse me 1 minute. Shane, if you can hear me, if you're on the guest line, I can't read the board. I can't see it. Call my phone. Call the Inner Sight phone, 631-224-3090, and I'll get a signal, and I'll call you back on my three-way, and we'll get you on the air. So if you can hear me, call the Inner Sight. I'll get a beep. And I'll know it's you, and I'll go on my other line, dial you back, and I'll bring you into the show.
I think more than anything, what is very disturbing about this trial, this verdict, and the appeal, if attorneys are allowed and judges are allowed to support discriminatory statements,
yeah.
During a trial, during an appeal,
that statement in my mind should entitle you what they call a mistrial to a new trial because of that statement. That statement should not be allowed in the courtroom.
It doesn't belong in the courtroom.
Because it's not true.
No.
Yeah.
And what does it say about the court systems in Colorado? And what about the oath that attorneys have to take before they actually get their, after they pass their bar, and they take their own oath of protecting everyone's constitutional rights?
Just to remind people, I'm sorry, the statement was, a blind person should not be walking in public without an able-bodied assistance. That's the statement that prejudiced the whole trial.
That and a blind person should only be allowed to travel on public transportation with a non-disabled individual who is fully sighted.
Yeah. That's a horror. I mean, that's back in the dark ages, how they used to think that way.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, that it is.
And I'm surprised that every agency for the blind and disabled has not come to your aid based on that statement, because it sets us back 100 years.
And not only sits on that, but who's to say that somebody else doesn't get hit somewhere else? They look up my case. Oh, we heard about this case in Colorado where the blind person got hit from behind, and they use that. They apply the same principles, and And now they're in the same spot as I am, seeking out
yes.
justice, crying out for justice.
Stand by, Lakita, stand by.
Yes.
Hello? Lupita, you there?
Yes.
I'm gonna go off. You'll still be on the air, but I'm gonna bring in Shane on a three-way line. So stand by, all right?
Yes.
Lupita?
Yeah.
I'll stand by. I have to clear the other line. Inner Sight, brought to you by all the beautiful children of the world. Go an extra mile for a child. We remember some of them who passed away, Corey Foster, Avanti Oquindo, Baby Royalty, Lil Tommy, Ollie Campbell, all the children who perished in Texas. We remind the politicians, you got to do a lot more to protect children. Go an extra mile for a child. This is Inner Sight. Stand by. We're going to break the station and try to bring in our other guest, Shane Snyder, who is the program director of the Sacramento Society for the Blind. So stand by. Stay with us. All right. Lupita?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to dial up Shane. He didn't hang up the line. Now I didn't him to hang up, so I should be able to get a dial tone. Stand by, right?
Yes.
Thank you. Lupita, are you there?
Yeah. Yes, I am.
Shane, you with us?
I am.
No, thank you so much. I already introduced you, so Shane is a friend, good friend of Lupita, and is joining us from California, and we greatly appreciate that. Have you been able to hear most of the show?
All of it, yeah. After the call dropped, I called back in, and I could hear you, but you couldn't hear me. But I've heard everything.
Oh, yeah, 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 because I don't have access to the board. I mean,
yes, understood.
Technical difficulties,
they happen sometimes.
Yeah, I'm going to try to get some new equipment shortly, you know, which would enable me to run the board, you know. But anyway, thank you so much. We've been going over the whole story, and can you tell us what do you remember about? Now you were at the trial, right?
That's right. Yeah, it was a five-day trial, and I was there for the whole thing.
Yeah. What stands out in your mind in this? You know, to me, this is almost like an inquisition.
Well, first off, in the first couple of days of the trial, the defendant, the driver that struck Lupita, his story was different in the trial than it was in his pretrial deposition. That was something that Lupita's attorney brought out. He changed his story from deposition to trial and then again at trial, and his wife did the same thing. So their stories were all over the place. And so
wow.
Right away, their credibility as to what they believed had occurred was brought into question quite clearly.
Yeah.
The other thing that became clear in the course of the trial is that the attorneys for the defendants, and there were no fewer than four or five of them present. You know, these are attorneys for the defendants' insurance company, right? Working
yeah.
as a team and strategizing and working together on the defendant's behalf. It became clear that they wanted to portray this as no fault whatsoever of the driver, despite the fact that he was the one behind the wheel, with the responsibility of paying at all times attention to what's in front of him on the road and avoiding striking anybody or anything. It became clear that the defense team wanted to put this all on Lupita, that she was somehow negligent just because she was blind and out walking by herself.
No.
They seemed to suggest again and again that a blind person, as was said earlier, should be wearing special reflective clothing if they're out. And as it was, Lupita was wearing a very bright, almost fluorescent orange jacket as it was. And that a blind person should be accompanied, that they shouldn't be out there just by themselves and their long white cane, that it's somehow inherently dangerous for them to be traveling by themselves. And that was reiterated throughout the proceedings during those 5 days, and the jury bought it. The jury concurred.
And the judge, the judge allowed it.
Yeah, the judge did not, as you guys have talked about in your conversation tonight, the judge allowed all sorts of prejudicial remarks on the part of the defense counsel, right?
Yeah.
And at the same time did not allow, as Lupita pointed out, that white cane law, which is in effect in Colorado, should have been a factor in weighing the driver's responsibility, obligation to yield the right of way to a blind person with a white cane in the roadway. That was completely disregarded, and that was something that the judge himself mandated.
That shows you how weak these laws are. You know,
it seems that they were of no help in this case, and,
yeah.
And the consequences have been permanently life-altering for Lupita, and it also suggests that other blind pedestrians are potentially vulnerable to not having the protection of the ADA and white cane law and other law that's designed to protect the safety and the rights of people with disabilities.
Well, as a blind person yourself, did you feel angry in the courtroom? Did you feel let down by the American justice system? What were your feelings?
Yeah, I have to say most emphatically yes. First of all, when the verdict was read, I was shocked because they're all indications were that the plaintiff's attorney, Ms. Lewis's attorney, was successfully prosecuting his case, and the indications, the buzz on the side of the defense legal team was that they were not going to win this case, and so when the jury's decision came in, it was a shock, and it was a blow to the stomach and the heart.
Yeah.
And yes, I once I got over those initial feelings around it, then I did feel let down. I felt that as a blind person, I and Lupita and others in the same boat are not protected.
Yeah. In describing this whole thing to my girlfriend, who's a very beautiful autistic girl, she said that Lupita reminded her of Joan of Arc and what they did to her, you know. And in this case, you know, being a woman and being blind, you know, I think that had a lot to do with how this case went. I really believe that. A lot of prejudice. The same way they were prejudiced against Joan of Arc. You know, how dare you go out into battle with men and lead men? You're a woman. You know what I mean? How dare you go out on your own? You're blind. A horror. Just an absolute horror. Now, we're going to – I want to thank Shane for sending out several press releases. We've done that. We're going to continue to do that. And we're going to do everything we can to get Lupita an attorney, you know. Lupita, you ready to go back to court?
Oh, absolutely. If I have to go to court, try it over again, and – with proper representation and win. Not a win just for me. A win for everybody who is blind, anyone who is disabled, who is telling these
yes.
stories. You cannot hide behind your clothes. You cannot hide behind the rules that are going to prejudice us, because we are citizens and we are entitled to the same safety
yeah,
to provide
yeah.
to drivers. It's our life.
That's right.
We have the right
exactly.
to protect our life
exactly.
and liberty.
And this time, I hope and pray that before you go to court, there's a major news conference. Because you have to, you know, it has to be pointed out what you just said. You know?
Yes. And I really have to thank, Shane, Shane showed a lot of emotion. I can during the trial, I'm going through this. Because of the brain injury, you know, I didn't know how to. I was so numb, and I still am. And it's the brain injury does interfere with your emotions, and it's almost like you're very neutral on everything. And Shane has been a great strength to me. As a good friend, as an emotional supporter, he's seen the changes that I've been going through. He knew me before the collision. He stayed in touch after. And Shane, thank you for being there for me.
Well, you got a lot of friends you don't even know yet.
Well, thank you for that, Lupita. And I just want to add for folks listening that when I met Lupita as a student at Colorado Center for the Blind, she happened on to me one day when I was in the lunchroom practicing Braille, and she sat down and began drilling me in the Braille signs and offered to tutor me at no cost every night for the next 3 months. And so she had a natural gift for and love of teaching, and was very generous with her time and her efforts. And that was recognized by Colorado Center for the Blind, which, as we mentioned before, on the day of the incident, offered her a job teaching technology to seniors, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, Lupita is someone that has always given 110% to others, to her community, to her students, to her friends. She is someone that has given a lot and deserves to have that come back to her tenfold. And it's my hope that by getting this story out there into broader circulation, she and other folks like her can achieve some justice.
Well, you can count on us, I'll tell you that. You know, this is not... this is not the end. This is the beginning. Until justice is brought in and served, you know, and until people understand that blind people have a right to walk and move about wherever we want, and that the safety should be there as it is for everyone else.
Yeah, and Frank, I'd also like to add that a lot of work has been done since the passage of the ADA in the way of making sidewalks and driveways and crossings, intersections, accessible and safe for blind pedestrians. A lot of work has been done in a lot of communities all around this country, all around the world. But in the case of the stretch where Lupita went into the street and was struck by that car, there's no accessibility work that's been done on that block whatsoever. That despite the fact that the Colorado Center for the Blind had been operating an apartment complex for students directly across the street for quite a few years prior to this incident.
Is it still, is it still the same way as it was when she got hit?
To my knowledge, nothing has been done to address the safety issues that contributed to what happened to Lupita.
It's still the same way, but in even worse condition.
We gotta address that. We've got to address that.
Yeah, and there are still students of the Colorado Center that are traveling that stretch to and from school every day, you know, that are potentially in jeopardy. And Lupita wasn't the first to end up in the street along that section of driveway. The employees of the restaurant whose driveway it was have in the past had to come out and offer assistance to folks that had become disoriented along that stretch.
Right.
So it wasn't the first time.
Well, thank you, Shane. We're out of time, folks, and it's been an honor to have both of you on the show. And I promise you, I'm gonna do everything I can. I wish I was a wealthy man, believe me. Lupita, thank you so much. We love you, man. And you too,
well,
Shane.
Thank you, Frank.
And we're with you. We're gonna make something happen. This is in a sight around the world. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. Goodbye, world. In a sight. Good night, everybody. Thank you.